Pickaxe.
Verwandle deine Leidenschaft mit Shopify in ein Business und knack Umsatzrekorde mit dem Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Du hast richtig gehört. Der Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Der legendäre Checkout von Shopify vereinfacht das Shoppen auf deiner Website bis hin zu Social Media und überall dazwischen. Ja, das ist Musik für deine Ohren. Wie du es auch drehst und wendest, mit Shopify kannst du zu einem echten Hit werden. Starte deinen Test noch heute für nur einen Euro pro Monat auf shopify.de/rekorde.
Jetzt nur du, dein Podcast und eine leckere Auszeit. Ab zu Aldi Nord. Für 2,99 Euro bringst du deine Mittagspause mit Sushi ins Rollen. Lecker. Und für 1,99 Euro gönnst du dir danach noch eine kleine Eiszeit. Bei Aldi Nord findest du immer das Passende. Klingt gut? Dann probier die Snacktime Sushi Box ab 205 Gramm für nur 2,99 Euro. Oder Mucki Sandwich Eis, je 8 Stück für nur 1,99 Euro. Das ist Gutes für alle zum Aldi-Preis. Jetzt in deiner Filiale. Aldi. Gutes für alle.
We're away this week, but as a special treat, here is the episode when I was on Charts and Counters. Oh, it's a board game podcast. There's no PFAX sips, just me and some other funny people. I'd say it was funnier.
Wait, I'm here though.
Yeah, what? We are here listening to you.
I'm not actually away right now.
You're flaming us right now.
I heard that.
Enjoy the podcast.
Hello and welcome to Chance Encounters podcast. We've been operating board game cafes around the UK for about 6 years now. From hen do's to family do's, from first dates to breakups, we've seen it all and recommended a game for the occasion. But now we're looking for a fresh challenge. Each week we'll invite a guest on who will put our knowledge to the test. They'll come armed with an abstract and absurd scenario, and it's up to us to figure out what that situation calls for and recommend a game that totally settles their Catan.
We'll get there. We'll find one soon.
Yeah.
keep trying.
Whichever game recommendation the guest loves the most will score a point, and at the end of the series, whoever has the most points will be crowned the Titan of board games. So I guess we'll start introducing. My name is Richard Scarsbrook. I'm a co-founder of Chance Encounters, and I've been with them pretty much since the beginning. That's kind of what founder means, so it's about 6 years. I play lots of board games, video games, all the things.
Do you have a cool nickname?
Oh, there's a nickname I've heard been used.
Ooh.
Scarab.
Okay, so my name is Scarsbrook, but there's a lot of Richards in Chance Encounters. So yes, I have been known as the Scarab, which I'm not particularly.
Scarab.
I don't think it's an affectionate name. Really like
you
it.
Sound like a 1930s like vigilante, you yeah. know, like with a hood and a cape.
No, he sounds like a mummy that's been
yeah,
just been like haunting a tomb.
Yeah. Beware yeah. the Scarab.
Yeah. Oh, we also have a tie-in with Disney's Moon Knight as well, and that's where this is coming from. So my name is Richard. My co-host here is Ben.
Hello, I'm Ben. I work with the Yogscast. I do streams. I love board games, and I'm a massive nerd.
Is Bedgers?
Edgars is my Twitch handle, correct.
Yeah, so it's Ben
the
Edgar,
most unoriginal.
Right?
Yeah. Ben Edgar.
Never going to be a situation where it's like, oh, where did you come up with that situation?
A lot of people, actually, when I've said that, people have been like, oh!
I guess if you know you didn't make that connection,
right? They thought you were so creative. Yeah. You come up with this strange
thing. People misread it all the time. If I've ever on public voice chat, people always call me Badger.
Because
they just scan read it. You know how you read, right. You look at the beginning and the end of a word and you just yep. assume you know what it says?
We're going to call you that now.
Yeah, I'm the Badger.
Or Bedgers.
Bedgers.
Like, you're talking about like just seeing words and not knowing how to pronounce. Yeah. Bedgers, right?
Yeah, there's nothing quite like getting phoned up by a call center, being called Dan Edger, and being told that my customer is very important to them.
I mean, the one thing that we don't know, I mean, if everyone's happy with it, was fairly easy to figure out what your handle and how that came about. The shark situation.
Yeah.
What led to the shark?
I'm that's me.
That's
who
sorry.
I am.
Oh my God.
Inside. I mean, I'm wear sorry. This, you know, flesh disguise.
Yep.
But I am, I'm a shark.
He secretly, you know, tries to kill beautiful, you know, divers. And eat their legs.
Right.
Sure, I've been reformed.
Okay.
I was caught by the HMS Yogscast.
Climbing yeah. up on the back of a motorboat, you know, flopping around,
yep.
getting harpooned.
On your passport, it also literally just says shark as your gender. Is that how it works?
Yep. And nationality. And age.
Oh wow,
shark.
Yeah, it's amazing.
I kind of you're there to fight the lizard people, right? That's your real
well. Yeah, I mean,
they
escaped
here.
The lizard people. That's why I'm a surface dweller now.
Wait, this means that all those situations where you're on the website and they go, "Are you human?" and then you're like, "No, I'm not.
I'm not a robot." So
yeah, it's whether it says, "Are you a robot?" In which case, oh yeah, that's kind of that's correct. Yeah. I am not a robot.
I'm allowed on like half of those websites.
Right.
You need that third option.
Other. And the games guru from Chance Encounters this week is Russ.
Hello, I'm Russell. I'm game guru / head of games at Chance Encounters Bristol. And I am also a huge nerd who loves board games. I've probably played board games far too much, which is why I'm here.
Yeah, Russ has recommended me some cracking board games.
Oh my god.
So I've got a head start.
Hopefully none of these, like, you can't use any of the ones you've already recommended to us.
Okay, challenge accepted.
The guru, is that what your nickname is?
Yeah, talking of nicknames, the only nickname I've ever been given, and it doesn't even make any sense, is Rusty. Like, I'm not like a handyman. Mm-hmm. I don't have red hair.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know why I was ever given that nickname, but apart from Russ, which is kind of dull, just shortening my name.
Say you are Xbox Live or, you know, PlayStation.
Oh, my gamer tag.
Yeah.
Is that gamer tag? Is that like,
sure.
Yeah, username, whatever. It's completely irrelevant. it's just a character that in a book that I wrote when I was a teenager.
That is adorable.
Yeah,
and you don't have to share it with us if you don't want.
I feel like it won't make sense, so I think I'll just leave it out. But you can find it if you try hard enough.
Mm-hmm. There you go. If you want
Rusty OC fan fiction, I'm looking for it right now. I'm sure that will lead me straight to it.
Yeah.
And the guest that probably needs very little introduction, Lewis.
Thank you. Yes. They used to call me Chuckles in high school, in senior school. That was my nickname back in the day. Because I was just a very jolly fellow.
Not because you're a clown.
I think I have got quite a distinctive laugh, though. And I do laugh often and inappropriately, too, as has happened. You know, just to diffuse the tension.
Mm.
There is definitely that situation where it gets uncomfortable and I'm like, and then everyone's laughing. And I'm like, oh, that was really dark. And why are you laughing? And I'm like,
yes.
It just kind of stacks, though, doesn't it? Because the more you feel like you need to laugh and you know that you shouldn't, that makes you more nervous.
Yeah.
And then before you know it, you're just
especially
howling
because,
at a funeral.
You know, you're and then everyone's saying that, did you know Lewis was laughing and she was dead? So disrespectful. And yeah, it compounds itself. And then I'm like, I wasn't laughing. Yeah. Led me down some risky areas. But I'm doing fine. I love board games. Thank you for having me on.
No worries.
When do I crack open the task for you?
Let's do it now. What have you come with? Abstract and absurd scenario for us.
So I've been thinking about the 2001-2 film Cast Away.
Oh,
okay. Tom Hanks.
With Tom Hanks. Now, of course, one of the main problems he had on the island was staying sane when he was cast away. And so he ended up, because he had all these FedEx packages, do you remember? Mm-hmm. And he cracked them open and there was like an ice skate and a volleyball.
Volleyball, yeah, Wilson.
That he made friends with. But imagine he wasn't that lucky and there wasn't something with such a human-shaped head,
right.
And also imagine he was trapped there with several of his friends, who, you know, maybe they were friends, maybe they were strangers, but, you know, I'm sure after a while they're all going to be pretty sick of each other.
Mm-hmm.
In one of those FedEx packages was a board game.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
You know, maybe a board game that would have to, you know, see these guys through thick and thin, years of straining their social fabric. What do they have to, like, what do they have to make themselves create a new civilization on the island? No. But more just to hold them together, like bind them rather than make them enemies.
Okay. Mm.
I don't know if you've played board games before, but making enemies seems to be the point in a really competitive board games, in my opinion. Or maybe that's just me.
I don't know what would be worse, though. If you were constantly fighting each other in this board game and someone was always winning and you were all very competitive. Or the opposite. You're playing like a cooperative game. One person isn't pulling their fucking weight and you keep failing the scenario. Like, honestly, I don't know which one drives people apart more. To be honest, I think it depends on the group.
I guess I'd hope that after a few plays, the person that wasn't pulling their weight would probably have at least learned the rules by that point, right? Yeah. You've got nothing else. You've got no excuses. We're on this desert island together. Yeah. You're reading the bloody rule book.
I would still almost guarantee in a situation like that, about three or four games in where you've got literally nothing else to do, I would still find out we've playing a rule wrong.
Yeah.
Because there's like some kind of bit on the side of the rule book leg that says something. Oh, we've been doing that wrong the whole time. Even my favorite games, I've been doing that. Like,
I mean, to be fair, some of the rule books are also, I think it's maybe something we've previously mentioned, but it can be a trial to get through, a real chore.
There are some bad rule books out there, and you wouldn't be able to watch the YouTube instruction video.
Rodney Smith couldn't help you out in these situations. Oh, no. Who's like the big board game tutorial video guy.
Yeah, imagine like you fished it out to sea as well, and like half the rule book was missing.
Oh, no.
That'd be the worst. You have to start inventing your own rules.
Well, every week you could take it in turns, you know? This week it's Lewis's turn to make the rules up.
Every time I play with Ben, though, he's like, I've played enough board games. I'm assuming this is how this happens, and this probably works like this, and that's what we do.
Yeah.
I think that you got a lot of trust in him then, based on that.
Cause... Well, the first time Ben played Wingspan, I remember, he said, he was like, oh, I got a score of like 250. I was like,
how did you do that?
What were you doing? I think it turned out
we weren't paying actions to play birds. We were only doing the three main actions.
Oh. So
obviously we were just putting down millions of birds and getting loads of points. It was really easy.
Like far too much mini actions. We did that the first time we played War of Whispers as well.
Mm.
The first time we played that, we thought you could
take every action in a row.
Yeah, not just choose one of the options.
Yeah.
So we were having like twice or three times as many.
And then we played...
Yeah.
I played that game with Russ a few months later, and he was like, I know this game really well. I'm going to tell you all how to play it. Mm. And he started telling us how to play it the wrong way that we'd been playing it before.
Oh my gosh.
And I had to be like, I hate to interrupt Game Guru. But we did exactly the same thing wrong.
I say one of my biggest shames is obviously getting rules wrong. But also I feel like then if we both fell for that, then it must be something to do with the rule book.
That did vindicate me. I felt a lot less guilty about teaching it wrong. Someone else independently.
Yeah.
That teaches board games for a living and still got that small rule wrong.
Yeah. And this is why you can't really make assumptions. And this is why it's... like actually sucks sometimes if you get a rule book that's so like badly done, because then you might miss something that actually changes the whole game. That is still my biggest shame.
So we have a few people on this island. Should we give them names? Should we give them some personalities?
Yeah, the Scarab.
Rusty.
Yeah. Rusty.
Okay.
The Guru. And Chuckles.
Okay. Okay.
Right?
So there's four. There's
make of them what you will.
Yeah,
it could be anyone.
Okay.
So is there four then?
There's four.
Okay. Okay.
All men.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Are they all gamers? Are they all hardcore gamers?
Look, you... One of them is a pilot.
Ooh,
okay.
One of them is a holidaying old man, like a graying old man.
Mm.
One of them is a young 18-year-old surfer.
Oh, cool. Okay.
Professional surfer. And one of them is a 38-year-old YouTube and Twitch streamer.
Right. So what we're saying is they have a lot of life skills to bring to this survival island. Is that what we're going with?
Yeah. We need to keep them. We need to keep them interested.
Mm-hmm.
Replayability.
Okay. Yeah.
We don't want them. We want one person taking control and doing everyone else's actions.
Yeah.
Mm.
You know, we want everyone to feel like they're part of the game. I want a game I can like play again and again and feel like everyone's able to, you know, compete.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
But with variety.
Okay.
Hit me.
Wow. Oh. I mean, I feel like there's some more digging to do first.
Yeah.
Like, are you playing this game out in the open? Like, is there a shelter somewhere nearby that we can like go
in? Yeah, there's like some coconut fronds we've rigged up over this area. We've got some, you know,
a little windbreak.
Yeah, we got like a little campfire nearby. We've got some coconuts that have been carved. We've collected some rainwater. We've got some crabs on sticks,
Ooh.
You know, that have been cooked on the fire. Yeah, we're content otherwise. You know, there's no imminent danger of, you know, disease, death.
No natural predators.
Yeah, there's no smoke monster or like...
It sounds like a luxury
also button
island
that needs pressing.
There's no button.
No mystery hatches that leads to 5 more mysteries.
Yeah. Equally, there's no doorbells ringing. There's no animals that need walking. You know,
we no one sitting on their phone during your turn.
We got plenty of time.
Is this like a dream scenario rather than like a nightmare scenario then?
Yeah.
You've just like literally got all this time to play games. It's just got
to
be a good
all
game.
All this time to play games. The one game you have.
Yeah.
Mm. Okay.
But like, this is I'm kind of already immediately thinking, do I want a game that literally will take the whole day? Mm. Ethereum, just to drop in there.
Is that the only game you can think of that would take the whole day?
Depends who you play with. Sometimes. Yeah. Sometimes you're going to... I've played Patchwork, which is it's like a 30-minute game with a friend of mine who took us like 2.5 hours to play.
Oh, wow.
Because
God.
He analyzed every move.
Oh, that might lead to island murder.
Yeah, I think...
Like, oh my God.
So I just really want to like...
How many rocks have we got?
So yeah, I mean, that is one of the longest games. That and Game of Thrones is the other kind of classic game that takes forever.
Yeah.
It's like a...
Well, but then again, I feel like, you know, if you've got like the games in a spectrum of length and time commitment, Twilight Imperium is just over here on its own.
It's the anomaly.
There's nothing like in that space.
Yeah, the 8 to 12 hour range is quite rare.
There is a known, like, really ridiculously long game called The Campaign for North Africa.
Yeah.
And that takes like days to play. And also Diplomacy, which is a childhood game for some people, that can take a long time as well. I've seen Risk take like 3 or 4 hours before because people just get lucky with the dice rolls and they just they've got one country and they've been holding on to it for like the last 45 minutes, but literally they just keep rolling enough to keep like surviving. So, you know, there are games that can take forever. But you want a game that's engaging throughout that time as
I've played a game of Diplomacy online. So you can do it in such that you have each turn essentially takes 24 hours. So there's a lot of conversation that you
like
have
like a play
going
by
on.
Email kind of situation.
Exactly.
Oh, we could do that on the island.
You just have your own corner of the island and you just like send each other notes in a bottle.
Then you all go off and whisper with each other about your... Because Diplomacy is a game that will ruin friendships.
Yes.
I don't know if it's one I could possibly recommend. I think you'll end up... People will keep those betrayals in their heart.
If you haven't played Diplomacy, surprisingly, it's all about those interrelationships that you have during the game. By large, your attack and defense, no one can gain an advantage unless it's through someone else supporting you, give or take. So it's almost imperative, especially early on, that you're talking with other people and get convincing that it's in their interest to let you attack other places or the opponents, for example. So that entire game gets very backstabby, very quickly.
Very ironic, really. This name was supposed to be like...
It was a game about working together until someone makes that wild lunge for solo victory and just betrays everyone. Someone you've been like closest allies for 3 weeks as you've played this game.
I think for me, when I was playing it, it's another situation where if you try and use logic, the whole thing, which is it's kind of what I do, I'm just using that. And then someone does something that's just illogical to you. You're like, why is this going on? And I take it very personally. That is not a game for me. I played one of it and I was like, I'm done here.
Yeah, I've never touched that game because one of the things I'm really bad at is being diplomatic in games. Because like, I get that, you know, you're supposed to betray someone and you're supposed to do the thing that, you know, goes against someone else. But I just want to be nice.
Like, I don't want to be that loudmouth guy at the table, though, like negotiating all these deals and like, you want to do this thing with me and then we'll trade this thing and then we'll do that. I'm like, I don't want to do the three-way trade. Just, you know, let me trade with the bank.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, don't want to, I want minimal player, I want player wheeling and dealing in my game. Thanks.
This is when I played in that civic circumstance in Twilight Imperium, it was like people were under the table texting and I was like, why is everyone texting? I didn't really get it. So it makes sense. And if you're on a desert island, then you've got these secluded areas you can go to and have those conversations, but equally, like people said, are going to die.
Yeah, there'll be three players, you know, Chuckles will have been quite covered in be speared with one of those crab sticks.
That does remind me of this time we played Betrayal at House on the Hill, which is a game where, you know, you're cooperatively exploring a mansion, like a creepy mansion, and kind of things happen. You get items, omens, whatever, until at some point one of you has to maybe turn against the rest, or like you all end up fighting against each other. But we didn't understand. So there's a point in the game where it's called the Haunt, where you kind of, your ultimate goal is revealed, whether it's you Jeopardy versus everyone happened. Else. And so there's two rule books. There's one for like the betrayer, and then there's another rule book for like the survivors, who are like the good guys essentially. And we just did not understand the game so much that we weren't allowed to reveal anything about our goals, our separate goals, that we were literally creating a separate WhatsApp group and we were like texting each other, like someone would say, what are we doing? And then we'd literally just create a message and send it to each other. It was extreme, the secrecy, that we were just trying not to tell anyone, the other player, anything about what our goal was. It was kind of to the most extreme point where we literally just, it almost became a silent game. We were like anything. Jeez. It was really weird.
Interpersonal relationships are almost what board games are built on. But I feel like it's really concentrated when you're on a desert island about these could super affect what's going on. Like, have you collected your crabs? No. Well, god damn, like, I'm going to have to come after you. This is the same thing that happened in that board game. Like, we're really going to have to make sure.
This is the third time you've borrowed my crabs. And when you...
I like how crabs are now like the currency of this island.
And, you know, when in the game, when you didn't repay that 2 wheat I lent you.
It's just this Thursday all over again.
Oh my God. Which they're going to be rescued and they're going to be like old men brought together for like, you know, a TV show interview 40 years later. And they'll be on the fence, you know, to talk to each other.
Where are my crabs?
What about that 2 wheat? It's gonna be like,
I gave it to you. You did not give it to me.
This actually brings me. How long are you anticipating? Oh, like, I mean, it's your scenario. How long are we going to be stuck on this island for? Is it going to be like a couple of weeks? Are we talking
like
months?
Well, that feeds
years?
Into the insanity, right? You know, there's no end in sight. You don't know when rescue's coming. It might never come. Okay. You know, maybe there's a boat, you know, sailing by full of tourists, you know, next week. Mm-hmm. But as far as you're concerned, you're stuck with these people here forever, and you know, I'm going more and more insane.
That really doesn't help, like, pick the game, because if, I mean, it's irrelevant. If the insanity is always on the table, or like complete, like, this is separation of everyone and living on their own corners of the islands because they've just had enough of each other. Mm-hmm. Like, eventually, like, picking a game with high replayability doesn't necessarily help, because, you know, it's inevitable. Right?
Well, let's just lay down and die then, right?
Yeah, I know. Like, yeah, you've got to play the game at some point. It doesn't matter.
We need to stave off the insanity as long as we can.
Yeah.
You know,
I've got to try.
Yeah.
We don't want to have 2 days go by and we've all gone completely lunatic. Do you know what I mean? Like,
that was the roughest 48 hours ever.
It was just a company retreat. It was just a team building exercise, guys. You didn't need to eat the crab, man.
Why does Chuckles only have 1 foot?
I've also started referring to Ben as the Crab Man. It's like a new nickname that's been created on
Passport
the island.
Has been changed. It was scrubbed out in whatever charcoal you could find.
What's the board game skill like experience? I'm, you know, you've said the ages and stuff of these people, but like, have any of them got any board game experience? And not that it matters, because you have like however long it is, you could learn
time.
The time. Yeah. But is there anyone on the team who's like, I just like opposed to playing board games. They think board games just not for them.
The scarab is badly burned.
That's true.
And no, there's no. I was gonna go with the bandages. I don't know. I was the mummy. I was leaning into the mummy. The angle, it didn't work. No, I think everyone's got all of their fingers and can see and stuff. They're all compass mentis for now.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's at least compass mentis to learn the rules and then subsequently ignore them as the insanity does that.
I mean, everyone's dealing with their own mental things.
Yep.
You know, you're enjoying the surfing, right?
Okay, yep.
But, you know, the nagging feeling in the back of your mind that you might never see your sweetheart again.
Yeah.
You know? You know,
I love in the situation that I'm also seeing that I'd have really long hair, and that's a good thing with my slowly receding hairline. I'm like, yeah, long, luscious surfing locks. That's great.
I think in this scenario, you're the 18-year-old, surfer person, right? So you would have
right back
full.
In...
Well, I'm just Yeah, sitting around in the crab pool.
Apparently, it's like you're serving like a plain door. You've like cut off like coconut fronds to like cover your shame, but you don't have much shame on display.
This point, I'm also ripped in this scenario. Yeah. Wow, this is great.
You're gorgeous.
Yeah, I am.
Wow.
So yeah, but not distractingly so. You know, we're all.
We'll keep our eyes on the game.
We're all exactly.
Sorry, could you just move your front slightly to the left?
There it is.
Like, so in terms of, you know, we talked about like you have shelter and stuff, but is there risk of storms? Like, how
much information do you need about this fucking desert island? I might as well write a novel.
Like, I'm just trying,
Jesus
like,
Christ. Okay, so
like, what I want to know is if a piece goes missing, like. Some games.
They've written out the word help in stones. They've done it all. They thought about being in a raft, but they realized it was like a lot of faff and they got splinters and I couldn't have an axe. They only had an ice skate and it wasn't quite enough. And there's no tropical storm. It's a sunny sky. It's all fine.
All right.
It's quite hot, but they're undercover. There's like, you know, they found some suntan cream. No one's burned. It's fine. Russ, how much more do you need?
I need to know much, much more. No, I'm kidding. Okay.
At this point as well. I'm pretty sure that affects the personality. And there's a whole thing. We use it whenever
one of them's a first aider. They've got like some antibiotics. It's fine.
One of the packages contains a first aid kit, thankfully.
Yeah, they're all right for a while. They're careful.
Okay.
How about your personal, let's say, Chuckles' tastes? What does Chuckles enjoy in a board game? What kind of genres or styles or themes or art styles or whatever? What draws Chuckles to a game?
I think that Chuckles, it doesn't matter actually what Chuckles likes. The key thing here,
they're stuck playing it anyway,
is to bring together a group for a good time and leave everyone happy. But also, you know, create some good memories and forge an alliance that involves, you know, that will deter backstabbing for crabs. When the crab season starts dwindling and the crabs are running low, people might get desperate and they might think, I won't kill Chuckles because, you know, we had that nice experience. And I'm looking forward to next Tuesday evening when we're going to do the next bit or play again. You know, I don't know if it needs to be one of these legacy games where it's got, you know, a journey.
Well, because the problem with a legacy game is it will eventually end. Mm-hmm. They're very hard to replay.
Mm. Some of them claim to have playability when you're finished, like Pandemic Legacy. Mm. You know, you're supposed to be able to play the game like Charterstone, actually, is another game. But some of these games have like a finished state, which is like you finished the game and you can still technically play onwards, but it's not something you would ever do.
Well,
so
yeah, I mean, as much as I don't like the idea of a board game coming to end, I think so many board games, we never get that far. We never play. Mm-hmm. I never played Pandemic enough fucking times. Mm-hmm. We even worry about having to do a 12 game series. I think that's very optimistic.
Have you heard of the 10x10 challenge? So it's in a given year, you're supposed to try and play 10 games 10 times.
Wow.
So it's 100 gameplays, basically. But
This would be the 1x1,000 challenge.
Yeah, exactly. But that one's quite interesting because it kind of does highlight that in people who are super into board games tend to be like, what's the new shiny thing? And then they go, I've bought this one thing. We played it once. Cool. Well, I'm ready to play the next. And you don't get to, like, how many board games have you ever played more than 5 times?
Yeah, only a handful.
And but probably
those games I love because I've really got into them.
I've probably managed to get it. So my most played board game is Terraforming Mars, and I've probably played that into the good double digits at this point, maybe like 30 or 40. And I know it's not everyone's piece, but
no, that's probably the game I've played most as well, actually, because we played the board game version a lot.
You played it on Steam,
and then
a
we
lot.
Played the digital version, and it became this kind of fallback game for us a lot of the time. We'd end up having a spare hour at the end of the stream, and you can get the digital version done pretty quick. And I hate a lot of things about it, but yeah, it's a hole filler.
I'm gonna say right now, not a huge fan of that game. Yeah. It's too dry. And actually, the original game... So the game is essentially you're terraforming the planet. You play cards and you're... Like, it's an engine-building game, which means that you play cards which help you, like, improve on your actions to do in future turns. And so, I mean, it's a very dry... themed game.
Yeah, you can place water tiles. That's part of the game.
I know. Doesn't make me more interested in the game, unfortunately. But it's the positive thing about it is it has so many cards and expansions that the game does have a lot of replayability or variability, because you might never see the card for like the next 10 games.
I mean, in that, can we assume that whatever board game parcel this came with, it came with any expansion that exists for this board game as well?
Yeah, it was like a big wooden crate.
Yeah. The big box version of game.
That's actually going to help if that is the case.
Yeah.
With the replayability, for sure. But the game, oh my gosh. The artwork on the game is so disjointed. Yeah. Some of it's clip art, some of it's like photos, and it's just... It just drives me nuts. Like, it doesn't have a consistent art style.
As well, in places of that game. Like, there's certain cards that are just rubbish and awful. Like, the worst thing about Terraforming Mars, actually, is the interaction with other players. Because you have these cards which take resources away from other people, but they cost you resources to do it. So there's no incentive, really, for you to... Obviously, there shouldn't really be an incentive for you to screw up other people, but it's kind of like, I'm going to destroy my game and your game.
Yeah. And then if there's three other players in the game who will get to race ahead while you two are crab bucketing each other, if you use the reference. Now I am the crab man, I guess. Let's stop talking about
it. I think, for example, when the games get that complicated, it does, you can imagine the spreadsheets. So I know that people like Wizards of the Coast with D&D and stuff like that, they have proprietary sheets that have everything in, and they try and balance it out and they try and work out exactly so.
There's only so far the math will take you, though, because once you're actually playing a game, there's more to it than simple numbers. And I mean, in Terraforming Mars, I will say one of the good things about it is that it doesn't have obvious combos that once you've played them, you don't want to play them again.
Right.
So a good example of that might be like Quacks. Which Alex is a huge fan of, and I know
I introduced Alex to that, by the way. She will admit.
Russ Quacks, I've been playing it a lot recently. I just sent a copy to PFLAX yesterday for him to play with his kids because I recommend it, and I really like it, actually. So it's a game, it's a push your luck game where you're a witch. It shouldn't be called Quacks because I think that's the German, right?
Quacks of Quedlinburg is it's the Quacksalber von Quedlinburg is the German name.
Yeah.
So the English one is just as silly, Quacks of Quedlinburg. But it's about quack doctors.
They could have called it like the witches though or something. It would make far more sense if it was called Witches Brew or something like
there
that.
There is actually an expansion called the Witches.
Oh.
Yeah. Herb Witches.
I guess Quacks is a fairly negative connotation in terms of like, oh, that guy's a quack. He's a fake.
It's like a quack doctor. I don't know if there's a known... Anyway, it's getting...
It's going off. I just don't think it's a very well-named game, and it wasn't what I thought it was going to be. I thought I was going to hate it, but actually I really, really enjoyed it. And it felt really social game to play with people, and it didn't really matter how good you were. Obviously, being skilled at it was helpful, but there was a big luck mechanic in the middle of the game where you're throwing all these ingredients into your sort of bag, and you're pulling them out, hoping you're not going to get these
cherry bombs,
which are like kind of like salt in the cauldron or whatever. Like, they're like the negative thing. And if you get too many of them, you go bust and you get a penalty. But the penalty isn't too bad either. It's kind of, I do get a penalty, but it's not going to ruin my game if I get it. It was just nice. But I think that has fairly obvious combos in it that you want to pick certain things. And once you've done that, you're like, I'm not going to do that again this time. I'm going to try a different combo. And I think that other games where they aren't as obvious setups, where the cards are much more random, have to add 300 cards, like in Terraforming Mars. There's a huge amount of cards. Obviously, not all of them are going to be great or duds, but it's much harder to pull the combos together, and so therefore it's much harder to get bored or feel like, oh, I don't want to do this again. I don't want to do Toadstools and new eyes.
Every game does feel quite different with Terraforming Mars, just because you never see the same card twice. With there being 500 cards.
Yeah, but I really like Quacks.
How do you shuffle that though?
There is quite a lot of replayability because you can have the tokens do different things, and there's quite a few expansions.
In Quacks.
Yeah.
Quacks. The irony is there is a perfect name for it, but it's already taken by in other games. Potion Explosion? That essentially would be perfect.
That actually
is about trying not to explode your potion, essentially. But it's a really good game. There is a really cool... So the game comes with these cardboard chips, which you like put into your bag and then draw them out. But there's an upgrade for the game, which are these like really cool plastic chips. And they cost as much as the game itself. So like, it's ridiculous. You really want them because it would make the game better, because the cardboard wears out after you've played it like 100 times, probably have played it a lot of times.
I mean, in terms of like board game manufacturing, if you say those cost about the same price mm-hmm. as the actual board game, like... You can, whenever you purchase one in a retail shop, the actual manufacturing cost is about a sixth of the actual, mm-hmm. of what you're paying it for. And so you can start working back on how much that would be. So if you added that in, would you pay £150 for a cracked game that's like...
It's really good, though.
You're going to play
it's
one?
Really good. It's really good. But that, yeah, that game is really good.
Well, the like danger is, of course, you have to choose who you're playing with, because certain people... are very much would feel the chips and oh, this one has a raggedy edge. That means it must be this one. Oh, you know, you don't want to get that kind of folks involved.
So to bring the island back into it. But if you get a bit of sand in there as well, be wearing away the chips, that would ruin it, I have to say.
So if it not was good. Quacks.
But then you just replace them with shiny pebbles and shells.
Yeah. I assume like one of the boxes has some paint. You can paint the stones different colors.
No, you use blood.
Okay.
Crab blood.
Everything is
There's plenty of that.
Yeah. That's in the bucket. Okay. How are you feeling? Have we got any other particular questions?
Do you have any like turnoffs in the games? Like any things you like? Definitely don't want that in my games.
I don't really want social deception or like I don't want there to be I don't want the game to have a
that'll
like
happen on the island
as
like
well. Betrayal feels like this two-pronged game, right, where you play one game where you're turning over tiles exploring this manor, and then suddenly it turns into I'm bad and you three are good, and it's kind of an odd dynamic that I've never particularly enjoyed. And I've just ended up having a lot of shouting matches with people on playing the Resistance and Coup and things like this, where someone's betrayed you some way, or you know what I mean, or tricked you. I'm not looking for that. I think
It's very hard to separate the personal from the game at that point. And when your tensions are high, especially when you're on a desert island,
I just like to get immersed. You know, I need something to distract me from this beautiful island paradise that I'm trapped on with these three idiots and all these crabs.
I would pay to be here, providing I knew I could get off.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Well, I have something that touches on... I've got something ready in terms of recommendations of you.
I've got something in mind.
I've got something in the pocket, yeah.
Okay. Yet again.
Yeah. Who's going to go first? You have to.
I'll go first.
I don't have a backup, so I really hope you don't pick up my game.
Fingers crossed.
I don't think so. So I think this one covers some of the bits that you've talked about. I think it's a game that you've probably heard before. It's something that we've talked about before. But the reasoning I'll give it is because it focuses on some sort of replayability. And I think the insaner you get, the better this game will be.
Ooh. Okay.
So the game I'm suggesting is Dixit. So super not strategic, but I think it has a load of replayability, because the idea of this is you have like these oversized cards that have this beautiful artwork on, and one of you is the storyteller, and that kind of position rotates, and you'll give a word, phrase, story, sound. You can kind of go pretty wild with it. About the card that you hold in your hand, and you'll place that in the center, essentially. And then everybody else has to find a card that they have in their hand, which is, I think you have about five cards or so in your hand. And what will happen is they'll think, well, what best represents that sound? Stick it in, give it a shuffle, and then we end up laying them out, saying the sound, word, or phrase in the center of the table, and then everyone has to figure out.
Imagine we said crab.
Yeah, it could be anything.
Well, it could be anything, but that's what comes to my mind on this island.
Yeah. Well, it depends entirely on what the card has. So the reason that I'm suggesting this is because, let's face it, at any point, you're going to start, the replayability is going to fade away. Now, Dixit has a lot of expansions associated with it. They are also some incredibly beautiful stuff that are out there. I've played, I think there's probably 8 or 10 at the very least expansions out there. And I like the idea that you could take these cards and almost tell a bit of a story about it. It becomes this whole like way in which you guys could create a world. And that's why I think the insanity then plays into it, because you begin to see weirder and weirder shit in those cards. And it really begins to like barrel out of it. And it's not necessarily about playing the game at those point, or you, if you could inscribe in crab blood your new cards that you want to add onto it. You've got loads of boxes. Let's create our own. I think it really becomes like this whole thing that you guys can get behind and becomes a very cooperative storytelling asset, essentially. So I know that's not necessarily
No, you're right. It's like the it's like the campfire oral tradition. It's like pictograms.
Envisioning like turning them into like some sort of tarot deck, and like and like when things go bad on the island, like people ascribe these kind of situations to certain cards, and you'll have like stuck onto the wall using crab blood, just making like chanting around the fire, like burning some of these cards. That's just in my head. I was like, I think you're right though. This insanity definitely
like
comes to play.
One guy's taking away all the cards with like pictures of women in their shelter.
Oh no.
Yeah. By the time that someone comes to rescue these people, it's going to get real wild.
These are my waifus. Wilson.
Oh. So that's my recommendation. I think it touches on some of it. I think it's an interesting one. We'll let you decide on that one. So between the two of you.
No, that might be the glue that brings, you know, these four stranded castaways together.
Yeah.
And through, I don't know, some sort of weird, it kind of feels like a tribal acid trip style, like reaching back to the roots of humanity.
Yeah.
Yeah, like we all ate some of the weird, those weird berries, you know. We
licking the crabs.
Shitting everywhere. And
don't lick the spotty crabs.
Yeah. All right, Russ, what you got?
All right, so like I said earlier on, like if we're including expansions in this, I think this would be a very good way to go, because there are a lot of them, like Richard's. I went for something that would be very interesting to play a lot of times, and not only, so basically the game is called Unmatched. It's a series of games, and it's called, the tagline, which I think is really cool, is in battle there are no equals, and it's essentially a skirmish game. So there's a board, it's got some like some spaces on it that are connected to each other, so you're going to move around the board. And you're going to be taking on a character from either history or folklore or legend, and you're going to be given a miniature with of that character. So as an example, there are there's Sherlock Holmes as one of the characters. There's Bloody Mary. There's like Achilles. There's other ones. Medusa.
Yeah, like Alice in Wonderland.
So like Alice in Wonderland.
Any character
exactly.
You've heard of that is currently out of copyright is in this game.
But there are also some branded ones. Like they've done some Jurassic Park ones. They've just released some Marvel ones. There's lots of characters. And essentially each character comes with potentially some sidekick or some like minions, which you can use, but also a deck of cards, 30 cards. And each character plays uniquely, just using this very cool concept of moving around a board and playing cards. So you basically, you know, you play these cards and, you know, it's a battle game. So you're going to be moving, you're going to be playing cards to attack, and then they may play cards to defend. But there's also cards that let you do other things. But the brilliant thing about it is not only does each character play very much to the style of the character, and they've had a lot of fun in coming up with the way that these characters play. As an example, Achilles was released in one of the later sets, and his sidekick is Patroclus. Now, in like, there's this kind of historical thing where apparently they were lovers, these two characters, and when Patroclus, your sidekick, gets killed, Achilles becomes stronger as he like gets enraged that his, you know, the love of his life has been killed, and so it just makes the character stronger, so he kind of goes all out in like this rage. And then Bloody Mary, because obviously, because famously to summon Bloody Mary, you have to say Bloody Mary, Bloody Mary, Bloody Mary three times. So they get benefits.
Why would you say that?
You have to be in front of a mirror. Yeah. There's no mirrors in here. You are fine. We're fine. And so if you start the round with three cards in your hand, you get an extra action, giving you three actions.
I see.
So they're very much, they've very much nailed, in my opinion, the thing that makes that character.
Yeah, the aesthetic of the way it feels.
But as well as that, there is a two-player mode, so it don't have to involve everybody. In fact, I consider it mainly a two-player game because I've never really wanted to play more than that. But there are three-player modes and four-player modes, so everyone can get involved. If Crabman has having a tough time, maybe run out of crabs and you need to send them off to go and get crabs, you can do that and you can still play the game in the meantime. That's cool. But also, what I thought was really fun is because there's like this unknown amount of time that you have, you could do tournaments. So you could literally play as each character against each other character and just find out who is the ultimate character, the best one. So I think you have that like longevity, but also each, even if you play with the same characters, you can still, it's still different because of what cards you get.
Yeah, so, I feel like you couldn't really have a Dixit tournament so much as, you know, you couldn't have the world, the island Dixit champion. Whereas I feel like, yeah, that makes sense. You could, you know, carve it onto a rock, you know.
The trophy, the rock trophy, the crab trophy. You could fight for the crab trophy, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure you could, like, take one of those shells, turn it into a crown.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, yeah. The crown of claws.
Yeah. Ooh.
And because you might be there for, like, years, you could have, a tournament every year.
Yeah, it's
and, like
the
it changes hands.
You know,
it
keeps
yeah.
Keeps the nations of, you know.
We split onto our four corners of this island. It's like, the beach dwellers are represented.
Well, yeah, you know, before long, you don't know how many other planes are going. If one plane crashed here, it's a good chance that the more are coming. I'm saying. Do you know what I mean? Yeah, before long.
There is one other thing I wanted to mention about it, and it's because it is a strong aspect of the game, and the artwork is so good. So each card has a really beautiful artwork on it as well. So I'm kind of like stealing a bit of Richard's thunder there. And some of them are really trippy. Like if you look at the Bloody Mary cards, some of them are genuinely like terrifying, the artwork on them. It's really good. So if you, even if you just weren't playing the game.
I would like to see her fight a T-Rex.
And you could make that happen. Like what other game can you set a T-Rex versus, you know, this kind of,
Sherlock Holmes.
Yeah, exactly. And Sherlock Holmes might win against the T-Rex. That's brilliant.
I deduce you have rather large teeth.
I deduce that those arms must have once been vestigial wings.
You should be feathered.
And this shamed him.
And then Ben, are you still free with
I'm
any
still
of those?
Free. I've got one lined up.
Ben knows me very well.
It's a game. Yeah. It's a game you already know and have played, but I think it's a very good fit. First of all, maybe the theme is too on the nose, but I'm going to go with the game Spirit Island.
Oh, yes.
So this is a cooperative game where one to four players have to stop the invaders of the island using their magical nature spirits to drive them away. You've got to protect the indigenous people. It's a really quite complex, interesting puzzle where wave after wave of these colonials turn up and you have to stop them from destroying the land too much and build up your magic to drive them off. One of the reasons I recommend it is because it's cooperative, which help keep the team together. You should win together, you'll lose together, you'll bond. It's complex enough that you can't play other people's turns for them. Everyone is very much in charge of their own bit, and you won't have too much quarterbacking. And third, it has increasing difficulty that go up very high. You have four different opponents to play against. Each opponent has eight difficulty levels that you beat. So it's going to be a long time before you've managed to beat it on the very highest difficulty. Every time you play, if you win, you crank it up by one. If you lose, you crank it down by one. And this could keep you going for years, potentially. And you could even, if you've mastered the very highest difficulty session, sure, between you guys, you could find a way to make it even more difficult.
I love it. I also love the sort of vague metaphor. The idea is that you better keep your island clean You know, don't shit in the water supply.
Yeah, don't eat all the crabs.
Yes.
Don't put a blight on this
respect,
island.
Respect the island, or else, you know, it might raise up and the forces of thunder and lightning will be roused from their slumber to zap us.
Well, exactly. And there's lots of different island spirits you can play as, especially once you include the expansions. But maybe everyone starts going a bit crazy and picks one spirit to be, and that's who they role play as in between game sessions. They're just like, I am the fire god.
Yeah, there will be that guy who looks after the fire.
Exactly.
Yeah, maybe they've already been falling into those roles, and this just reinforces them.
Mm.
Yeah. Oh, Ben.
Again, this is going to be really weird when they get picked up and they're like, I'm actually a god. And you're like, yeah. All right.
Back, invaders! They hurl rocks.
The ship's coming up to rescue them. Throwing burning sticks at the ship. They're like, yeah. This is very ineffectual. What's going on here?
Yeah, that's a good idea. I like that. Yeah, we're so into the game that we don't want to get rescued. This helicopter's coming and we're chucking crabs at them.
We haven't finished the highest difficulty yet. Be gone.
Come back in 2 years. Yeah.
I really love the concept of that game being a lot of Euro style games have this kind of colonialism kind of thing built into it. Yeah. Even if it's not sort of like obvious. And yet Spirit Island is complete opposite. It's like we're protecting the island for these indigenous people against like colonists. And I think that's really cool. And it's not been explored nearly enough as a concept.
No, you're right. There is a lot of exploitation and trading and oil baroning and everything and building a massive conglomerate or corporation. It's always about, a lot of it is about taking wood or cut or harvesting materials.
Even Catan has a little bit of that, even if it's not obvious. Like, there is that element of coming into
land. Maybe that's why they took the settlers out.
There's a bit of a controversy at the moment in the board game industry. I won't name the board game, but where they've basically had a leaflet that were like, we do not glorify any of these things, and then they sort of glorify it. And that whole part of board gaming, it really affects the people that it has affected, that have personal experiences. So it's a really interesting, and I think we'll see board games go more that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I mean, this feeds back into the old idea of the worst board game, Monopoly, which was originally supposed to be this anti-capitalist, anti-monopoly sort of thing, wasn't it? And to teach people about the dangers of corporate greed. Whereas actually it's sort of being subverted into, enslaved into promoting instead.
You know what? Become the very thing I set out to destroy.
Right. Yeah.
You were the chosen one.
I find myself recently wanting to own 4 hotels. I mean, yeah. I hear I get a lot of money when I start renting those out.
That is what kids used to want to do.
And I can just go to jail and pay a fine and out I get.
Oh my God, you don't even have to go to jail, do
just,
you?
Just pay
days?
The fine.
The most
get out of jail free.
The most unrealistic thing about that game is it's set in London and there's free parking.
That's true.
Very
completely
true.
Out of date, yeah.
I mean, and the fact that you can actually afford any of the property. Here's your $1, try. Good luck.
Yeah, you'll get $1 every time you go around the board.
Yeah. Oh, but there's taxes, so that's 50% of that's gone.
Jeez.
Yeah, we'll try not to talk too much about that, but yeah, no. Spirit Island, good. No, it's I suppose there must be other cooperative board games that are similar.
There are a lot of cooperative board games out there, but this is one of my favourites because of the massive amount of customizable difficulty that most of them don't. A lot of them have a little bit of difficulty increasing, but once you've solved the game, you've kind of solved it.
You're right.
And most of the other ones don't do much to stop the quarterbacking syndrome of the person who's played it the most telling everyone what to do. Whereas I find this game is complicated enough with your secret card of hands that you can't have someone going, oh, you do this one, then you go here.
I think when it was first released, it was almost the anti-quarterback. So quarterback being that person that is constantly telling or managing everyone on the team.
Mm.
This one literally came out as the one that, if you have that person, you can now play a cooperative game with it.
Mm. Instead of just forgetting to invite them to game night.
It's partly due to the nature of these cards triggering either quickly or slowly. And so your slow cards trigger basically at the start of your next turn. You know, it's such
they go after the enemies have been.
Yeah, but then that's when your next turn starts. Mm. So you have to think of it like I'm playing a turn ahead. And because of that, You can't have one guy coordinating unless he's some sort of Sherlock Holmes super mind genius. It's very hard to, like, you have to kind of figure out where they also, the invaders come in waves,
right,
and multiply with invaders, the colonists. Mm-hmm. Like, they swarm all over your place, shitting all over your lovely island, leaving all these like little poops, and you're like, it gets out of control really quick.
Just thought of an interesting re-theme for that game.
Oh yeah, okay.
Like, oh no, just like
Sewage Island.
Or just like, I don't know, cats or something.
Oh, cats invading your garden.
Yeah. That could be fun.
That could be good. Digging up stuff. Yeah. Just put those daffodils in.
Leaving little presents.
Oh, no. So, overall, it sounds like you have the acid trip.
Mm.
You have the fictional characters fighting each other. And you've got the ultimate battle of that. And then you've got the spirits, the anti-colonial stuff. Have you, is any of these hit the head? Do you like any of the ideas?
Well, I think this is like, maybe, look, first of all, I'm all for a Burning Man style situation where we all just go mad and embrace it, you know, and lean into the madness, you know, fuck it. I love that. The new Olympics, it leans a lot on the old. It's like, it's almost like cleverly saying, let's fight in game instead of in person. You know, let's
settle our disputes.
Yeah. You know, you're angry with someone, take it out on me on this game, you know. Especially if you're doing a free for all, I think you can always, in a four way, you can always say, this guy's fucking not done the washing up. I'm gonna go for him. I don't care if I lose, I'm gonna take this guy out. I think that we'll get, it's a little bit like having those like arcades in the truckers, you know, so they can get their stress out on the fake truck, you know, and not do it on the real road. So yeah, I can see that helping. And also I can see the idea of you know, just forming our own Sentinel Island. Is that where they are, the natives, and
becoming just a god.
and
forming our own society from the ground up, founded on the sort of natural, you know, respecting the island, living one with the island.
You know
maybe the rest of civilization will have burned itself out and we'll still be one with nature, playing cooperatively together in harmony with the land and earth and sky and sea and crabs around us. So yeah, I like them all. I'm ordering them right now.
Nice.
Alexa, order games.
She already knows which one it was as well. She's been listening.
She's been paying attention.
Well, you do have to pick. Someone needs to get their point. Mm.
Yeah.
Oh, I have to pick.
You have to pick one. Yeah. Well, you can only take one with you.
It's got to be the drugs.
Yes! Finally did it, guys!
Rich got one!
Yes!
I think it is probably the best option, actually. Yeah, it's a good game. You can just smash it out in like an airport or anywhere, can't you? And it's like, yeah.
That doesn't matter in this scenario.
Yeah, I could just see,
unless there's an airport on the island, in which case, why haven't you escaped
movie,
already?
I could just see some kids playing it, you know, in the airport.
Oh, right. I see.
In my movie version of this podcast,
you can check off Scunnet.
It's come full circle. Just,
they're already playing it, and then it lands up on the island.
Yeah. They've already taught all the rules at that point. You've gone like, oh, that was an interesting Easter egg. Oh, but it's actually the entire movie now.
You have to put that stuff in. So when people watch it again, they're like, oh, I didn't see that.
Foreshadowing.
Yeah. Okay.
And then they think you're smart. That's how you win an Oscar. Just tips throwing it out there.
Nice.
Welcome.
Well done.
Thank you so much. Obviously, congratulate the winner there. They've done a fantastic job. I thought but thank you so much for coming along. Lewis, where possibly could we find you?
Just Google my name.
Just Lewis.
Chuckles.
First one out there. Chuckles.
Chuckles and the Crab Man. There
you go. Well, thank you very much for coming on. Thank you for entertaining us this afternoon. And well done to everyone that partaked in this glorious exercise.
That was a lot of fun. I could have gone for another 2 hours and then had a coconut and doing it again tomorrow.
Strangely enough, I think we're all going for crabs after this as well.
I am hungry for crabs now.
Well, thank you very much. That's all for today for the podcast. we'll be back next week. Thank you very much.
Cool. Bye.
Bye.